Hello, Connected Parents, and welcome to another episode of Connected Parenting. So today will be part of the Q&A series. Janine has sent in a question. My 10-year-old son has never forgiven my 8-year-old son for being born. She said this is devastating and heartbreaking, and she has no idea what to do. This is actually something I hear a lot at Connected Parenting. This is not an unusual question. We see this quite often with our families and our gladiator kids. So in this episode, I'm going to dive into how to handle when one of your kids has not forgiven your other kid for being born.
Hi, everyone. I'm Jennifer Caleri. I'm a child and family therapist and a parenting coach and the founder of Connected Parenting. And welcome to the Connected Parenting Weekly Podcast. Join me every week and we'll tackle everything from temper tantrums to bedtime to sibling issues to teenage angst. Parenting can be so wonderful, but it can be so hard. Parents often say to me, "Hey, can you just come live at my house? This is the next best thing. Let's do this together."
Okay, so I'm going to answer this question in layers. So the first layer is really looking inward, really looking at family patterns and maybe some of our own stuff that we can bring to any of the dynamics that happen in our families. So step one is really looking inward and thinking, okay, is this a pattern that I've seen with my siblings? Am I over-identifying with one child over the other? Am I experiencing, some issues that came up, when my sibling was not nice to me, or do I feel some guilt about not being nice to my sibling? Like, just take a minute, go inward and just examine some of your own family patterns a little bit, because you may find, there's a little bit of bias in there, or you might be, too hard on one kid or not hard enough on the other kid. And that can sometimes play into existing dynamics that are happening between the two kids. So I would always kind of start with that, and just, you don't have to tell anybody about it. It doesn't have to be a whole confession. Just go inward and really ask yourself some tough questions and see if you can sort of own, any pieces of that that you think may be contributing in any way to what's going on with your kids. So that's step one. Step two is be kind to yourself. Forgive yourself. Be loving to yourself about that. We carry things forward. We are always playing out programs that were installed in us as kids. So really, like, give yourself some love there and some support. Do not be hard on yourself if, in fact, you've found some patterns. If you haven't, we'll move on to step three. So step three is where we really look at, let's start with the child that's, really resentful, that just really hasn't forgiven their sibling. So I see this a lot at Connected Parenting. So we tend to work with kids that I call gladiators. And I've done like a whole, couple of podcasts on this, but my description lovingly of a gladiator child, is a kid who is sassy and feisty and, challenging everything, everything's outside of the box. What box? They can be really intense. They're spicy. Let's put it that way. And I think they'll make amazing adults. It's just, they're really tricky to parent. And you want to hold on to that spirit and make them feel loved and find all the kind of good things about their strengths, but also help them to work within the world so they're not pissing people off all the time. So they're not getting kicked out of groups. You want people to be able to work with them. So you want to sort of mold them and help them and guide them into kind of acting out and living out the best parts of themselves. And it's hard to parent them. It really, really is. And they can be gladiators for lots of different reasons. Lots of kids that have ADHD are gladiators. Lots of kids who are gifted are gladiators. Kids who are exquisitely sensitive can be gladiators. And some kids are just born with this temperament. Like, they are just born, pushing back on the world. You'll even see a lot of these kids like push back on furniture and they squeeze and they're tactile as well. So that's the first part. They also tend to be very, very sensitive, exquisitely sensitive. And you would not think so because they're so mean sometimes to their siblings. They have this kind of flashback. The sibling does one little thing and they just like triple down on them. They kind of just finish them. And I've had lots of parents say, "Oh my God, I'm worried about my kid. I'm a sociopath or something. They're so mean and they don't take responsibility and it's always the other kid's fault." And that's really heartbreaking for two reasons. One, you're heartbroken for the kid that's the target of this. And two, you're worried about the, you know, your child that's being the aggressor here. How are they going to manage in life? Their life flashes before your eyes. Who's going to want to be with them? Who's going to want to be their friend? Who's going to love them? So it's complicated. And you're really feeling both of those sides of things, I think. But the exquisite part is important because they do feel a lot of things very intensely. And I think sometimes they're the more sensitive of the two, even though you would not think so. So that's like the number one thing to understand. Then they feel everything very deeply, like in a very big way. So, and everything from like a bump in their sock to, I don't know, a taste in their food, everything's huge. Like their underwear is too tight. There's all kinds of stuff going on for them. So everything comes in very, very intensely. So having a sibling, which most kids have some kind of reaction to, they just feel it in a more intense way, like a deeper way. They don't know how to process it. Then it keeps that there's a cycle there that just keeps being fed. Often, and we'll talk about the other child right now. Often the child that they resent, this is not always true, but it's almost always true, is really easygoing and, you know, a pleaser and, you know, always doing the right thing and always kind of, you know, don't worry, it's fine. He can have his way. I'm okay. And that dynamic ends up being very, very common. And it's sort of maladaptive for both of them, but it actually ends up defining them. So the kid who's like really easygoing and don't worry about it and it's okay. And they often really want to befriend that sibling and they look up to them and they want to please them all the time. And it's just really hard as a parent to watch this dynamic play out. But that dynamic kind of, it's sort of polarizing. So the kid who's the good kid really sees themselves that way. That's their role. That's all they know. For a lot of those kids, they don't have the opportunity to freak out and have a fit and have a meltdown because their sibling is doing it all the time. So they've sort of settled into this role of just accommodating and being pretty easygoing. So on the one hand, that child will learn lots of things about that role that's going to help them later on in life. There'll be many things from that that will end up being, you know, really good qualities for them. However, you want that child to be able to, in really healthy ways, stand up for themselves, speak their mind, set boundaries, and handle having a very aggressive sibling. And then the kid who's the gladiator, the one who's, you know, really targeting that sibling and always on them, starts to really run that program. So the times that their sibling is actually kind to them or nice or has shared, there is not registering. And even if it does, there's a little bit of resentment with that. There's often this resentment that they're the good one and everybody loves them and everyone gives them everything and it's mean to me and nobody cares what I want, even though the dominant child is usually the one that gets their way, just because it ends up, they suck all the oxygen out of the room and they just don't see it. So that's the kind of scenario, and that's what's happening with both of those kids. So one of the things that's really important is to think about it this way. Okay, that the gladiator child has got this program. That sibling came in and usurped me. Life was great until my sibling came along, and everything is terrible in this world because they're here. And on top of that, they're getting the accolades for being good. They're getting all of the parental attention. They're getting all of the, the positive strokes for always being the good one. And that sort of builds that resentment. Now, what often happens with the good one is they usually find ways to balance things out a little bit. It's just they're more stealth about it. So they may be behind the scenes knowing exactly how to get their more aggressive sibling going. Only you walk in and all you see is the aggressive one going off. So there are ways, I think, that the recipient finds ways to balance things out, and you just don't see it because the gladiator is super loud. So I would suggest this. it'll seem unrelated, but spend individual time with each of them. Make sure for 2 or 3 weeks, really bring the calm technique into this. I say this every episode, but please go back and watch the first couple of episodes. I have a bunch actually on mirroring. Just go back and watch anything on the calm technique in mirroring, because you want to be really polished with that. And then just really start with, you know, baby play, showing them pictures when they're little and telling them stories, and kind of go backwards before you go forwards, especially with the aggressive one. Have lots of one-on-one time with them. That's a really important thing. Kind of build them up from the inside out. And then when they're complaining about their sibling, instead of kind of logically and rationally being, well, that's not true, and your sibling does this for me, and you always give me a hard time, and that's never going to compute. It's just not. Really just connecting with them on what it feels like to have to share, and the worries that they may be feeling that they're not enough, or their sibling is taking something from them somehow. Just really have conversations about that. Use the baby play, use the connection. Have lots of time where you're one-on-one with your child and your spouse can take over and be with the other one and flip it around. That's number one. Same thing with the child who's the recipient. Make sure you're doing a lot of that with them, right? A lot of connecting with them, a lot of kind of soothing them. Then when the aggressive sibling is really, you know, going after the other one, try to use mirroring in that situation. So mirror to the one that's angry, then present the problem, but get it, you know, you're just minding your own business, or you're coloring, or you're watching that show, or it's your turn on the computer and your sibling comes in and sits with you and is beside you breathing. That's annoying and you want your space. I'm being sarcastic there, but start with that and then say, but in our house, we don't speak to each other this way. And if you're going to choose to talk to your brother or your sister that way, here's the consequence. So you're kind of laying it out in advance. That's really important. With the other child, with the recipient, keep an eye out, like peek around every once in a while and see if you can notice some of the things that they may be doing that's setting off the other kid, and then do the same thing, like mirror to them and say, you know, I get it. He's hard on you. I saw what happened this morning. I guess sometimes you just have to find a way to equalize things a bit, but I wonder if we could find a different way, or could you come and ask me for help? You know, give them some strategies for dealing with that child. I have a whole episode on sibling rivalry and sibling stuff, which has more strategies that are actually in there that you can follow this episode up with, but I really want to focus on the connection piece here, because that's what's actually going to help both of them, and divide and conquer. So when you're going out to the mall, or you're going to the zoo, when you're going somewhere, split them up. And if you have more than two kids, then three go with one and one goes with the one who's more aggressive. Spend that individual time. Then you come back together for a snack, or you come back together for lunch, and then you split up and switch. Right? So you're expanding and contracting the family unit. So you have more time with them on their own, less time with them kind of going at each other. And if you start with this, it will usually help. Then follow through on making sure that there are rewards and you know, the kids are really getting positives when they cooperate together, when they work together. Like, catch the aggressive one not being aggressive. You know, when I noticed that, you wanted to go here and he went there and you kind of went with it. I just wanted you to know that I saw that. That's not easy for you. I noticed that. See if you can catch them tolerating their sibling or being kind to their sibling. So the technique is called friendship moves and friendship blocks. So start rewarding and noticing and reinforcing when you notice them working together, and you sit them down and you explain a friendship block is, I've done that already and that's stupid, and I did that last year and you're drawing socks, and those are friendship blocks. And most often the aggressor is doing that. Friendship moves are, oh my God, that's so good. And, oh, that's awesome. Tell me more. And, you know, oh, that was amazing. Good shot. Like that kind of stuff. And you have them together working on collecting friendship moves together. Don't pit one against the other because the other one's always going to win. The aggressive will never win this game, right? So together, they can earn something. So as, you know, the car ride or, you know, whatever time you're together, they're actually displaying more friendship moves, then together they get to decide what, where you're going for dinner on Friday or the movie that you're going to play or something that they both want, you know, a game or a video game or a board game or something for the house, they earn together. Now, one will always be doing a better job than the other, but you're putting them in the same boat a little bit and you're having them work together. And try also to have moments where it's a little bit more structured, you know, where there's something that they're doing together. They're on the same team against you guys. That can be really fun. Any type of cooperative games. Okay, you guys, you do this together and see if you can beat the adults, like that kind of stuff. Any kind of situations that put them on the same team really, really help. So this is a hard one. This is complicated. Do remember that siblings fight. That is kind of normal. You just want it, you know, kind of in the yellow to green zone, not the red zone. And there, it'll go through phases. There'll be times when it's, you know, more difficult than others, certainly when they're, you know, stressed or really tired or really challenging times of the year. Siblings are working out who they're going to be as adults, how they're communicating, how to be heard, when is too much. They're working on self-awareness. If your children are young enough, really try to use play, try to use guys or stuffed animals or stuff and have them kind of explore being on the receiving end of some of those behaviors, have them practice the things that you want them to do through play. That can really help. It does get better. These are tough years and it really does tug at your heart when your kids aren't getting along. That is a really, really tough one, but hopefully this helps. So it was a very long answer. A very short question. I'm sorry about that. Thank you so much for listening again today. And go to connectedparenting.com. I've got all kinds of resources there for you. Courses, I'm building up actually mini courses that are quick and more affordable for people to really help you on your parenting journey. We've got a whole team of therapists and parenting coaches that can help you. My books are out there. We have a longer kind of online masterclass with support. I'm out there trying to build resources for you guys to really help you because parenting is pretty difficult sometimes. So I will see you next time on the next episode of Connected Parenting.